Since the fall of cable, it seems there has been a never-ending battle for supremacy over streaming. Disney recently acquired 20th Century Fox, now 20th Century Studios, and now Netflix has made a deal to purchase the studio and streaming side of Warner Brothers Discovery, angering Paramount executives. But why are these mergers happening, and will this deal even go through? I'm Jason Acuna, and this is Unbothered by WFSU. Hello, Regan.
Hey, Jason. How's it going?
It's going well. I want to say thank you for joining me today and filling in as my co-host. I really appreciate it. For those of you who don't know, this is Regan McCarthy, our interim news director.
Oh, don't worry, Jason. My reputation precedes me.
Always. It always does. So, Regan, have you seen the show Succession?
Yeah, I watched it. I don't remember a lot about it. It was like very like jargony, businessy, like ROI, like hostile takeover situation.
Well, that's good because those are a lot of the words that we're using today with our topic. We're talking about the Netflix Warner Brothers acquisition.
Oh. So
do you know anything about that?
Just that it seems like it might be happening, and I have a lot of questions about, you know, hostile takeover and like monopoly.
Yeah, so essentially Paramount a while ago was interested in purchasing all of Warner Brothers Discovery, which is the streaming and television side of what they do. That kind of opened up the opportunity for other people to submit offers. Netflix wanted to buy only the streaming side, and it seems that that's the deal that Warner Brothers Discovery has taken to sell off HBO Max and the studio side of their organization. And that has kind of angered Paramount into trying to do a hostile takeover bid.
Wow. Is that allowed?
Well, I mean, that was one of the questions I had. So I sat down with a professor who specializes in mergers and acquisitions to learn more.
Hi, my name is David King. I'm a professor of management at Florida State University, and I've been studying acquisitions for about 30 years following the defense industry consolidation in the 1990s at the end of the Cold War.
Absolutely. Well, Professor King, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me about what's going on with Warner Brothers, Netflix, and Paramount. I really appreciate it. I know there's a lot going into this, these potential deals, and so I'm just really happy to have your insight into them.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. And so just jumping into the first question. So from your view, what is going on with Warner Brothers and Netflix and now potentially Paramount?
Yeah, Warner Brothers made a prior acquisition to combine these assets with Discovery, and it didn't have the right scale to be able to compete. Paramount initially approached them for an acquisition, and they made a series of six offers before the current one that's a hostile bid against Netflix. But as part of that, they realized they had to break up the company into different parts and then to unlock the value they had and then give it to companies that could better leverage the resources. And they negotiated a deal with Netflix for the Warner Brothers content, which includes the DC Universe, Harry Potter, and other things.
I'm understanding why Warner Brothers would maybe want to sell, or Warner Brothers Discovery would want to sell the Warner Brothers side of the business if it's not performing to what they were hoping following the Warner Brothers Discovery merger. But what's in this for Netflix? It seems like a pretty big price tag for Warner Brothers. And I've heard some doubts on whether they have, you know, the necessary capital to really pull off this deal. Is that the case? And what do you see this really benefiting Netflix in the long term if the deal goes through?
It likely will benefit Netflix. It's a $300 billion company. So they can, right now they're using loans to finance the majority of it. About 5% of it's in their stock. So they could offer more stock, or with, you know, their revenues and cash flows, they could get additional loans to pay for it. So it's not really beyond their capacity to purchase this Warner Brothers. The reason they're doing it is most of the movies that are shown on there are independently produced. So like Squid Game was not really produced by Netflix. It was produced and created in Korea. And then after the fact, it was purchased by Netflix to be shown on Netflix. And a lot of that content is similar to that. So they have a lot of algorithms from what people view to predict what would be shows, but they've sometimes contract people to create those, but they don't have the production houses to be able to do that. And they also lack content that can be carried over on multiple movies, like Marvel and Star Wars are both owned by Disney. There's nothing really comparable by Netflix. So they have Stranger Things, but that's ending now, and it won't immediately generate other things, but DC, Harry Potter are more long-lasting content that they can use to be able to make movies. And combining the shows that Warner Brothers and HBO Max have with Netflix will decrease the subscriber churn by having more content available for them. So it makes a lot of sense for Netflix.
So that makes a lot of sense with that Netflix wanting the kind of legacy assets that Warner Brothers owns. And so going off of that, where does Paramount come into this? Because they also have a lot of their own legacy assets, but have been struggling to stream. Can you explain about how Paramount plays into this?
If Paramount wants to be able to get big enough to be able to compete with Disney, Netflix, and Amazon Prime, right now it has the stuff related to Paramount and CBS, but that's not been really enough to avoid the subscriber churn. So if they come out with something new, people will subscribe up for a few months and then cancel it. So what they're trying to do is gain scale and content to be able to be part of, the larger firms playing this space that are going to have more consistent subscribers.
Absolutely. And so my understanding is that Paramount has been kind of involved since kind of the beginning. They were maybe the first ones to reach out to Warner Brothers about acquiring all of Warner Brothers Discovery. And Netflix only wants to acquire the Warner Brothers side of the business. And Paramount is not extremely happy with Warner Brothers Discovery's acceptance of the Netflix deal. And I understand that they've done a kind of a hostile takeover bid. Can you explain kind of what that is and what's going on with that?
Yes, most acquisitions, probably 80%, are negotiated with the target firm's management, and that's what Netflix did. I'm not sure if Netflix approached Warner Brothers or vice versa, but they began talking and then they negotiated a deal. They created something that's called a clean room where there's documents you can go in and look at the financials and other things, and Paramount wasn't allowed access at the last minute to the clean room. And that's one item that they initially protested. And then they tried to negotiate a different deal. Warner Brothers executives turned it aside so they can make a hostile bid directly to the shareholders. And it can go two ways. One is what they're doing, a tender offer, where you just publicly say, we'll buy anyone's shares of this company at this price. So what they've done is Paramount's offered anyone that owns Warner Brothers Discovery shares $30, which is currently above the stock price. If you sell us your shares, we'll give you $30. The other one is to do a proxy battle. And what you do is every year there's an annual meeting and there's a vote on different shareholder and company proposals that need shareholder approval. And that is, you can submit and get enough signatures and things and to be able to put a vote that the company should sell itself to Paramount. That takes a lot longer and is a lot more complicated. Tender offer is generally easier, but the majority of shareholders in Warner Brothers Discovery are institutional investors. It's about 60 to 80%, so companies like Vanguard, Fidelity that own mutual funds and exchange traded funds. And right now I haven't seen any indications they plan to tender. Most hostile bids fail, and the way it's currently structured, Paramount's bid will likely fail.
And just so we can kind of get a picture of what these two different bids are, can you explain a little bit the difference between Netflix's bid and Paramount's bid?
Right now, Paramount's bid is all cash for $30, and it's a tender offer, and it wants to purchase the whole thing. That's the simplest version of the two deals. Netflix is working with Warner Brothers, and they're going to divest before the deal happens the Discovery and the network television stations into a separate company, and then Netflix will purchase the Warner Brothers and HBO Max content that they're primarily interested in. With the combination of debt that it's taking from three different organizations and then about 5% in stock. And the price for Netflix is currently $27.75. But they'll keep ownership of, I mean, the shareholders, current shareholders, sorry, will keep ownership of Discovery, which is about $2 to $4. So that right now, the Netflix deal, even though it's less than a dollar value per share for the Warner Brothers assets, when you combine what the shareholders will retain, is more than what Paramount is offering.
And so, if this deal does go through for either Netflix or Paramount, it's seemingly more leaning towards Netflix, is there a case that they could face any regulatory issues, such as like antitrust or anything like that?
It takes around 120 to 180 days for a typical acquisition to close because you have to go through different regulatory filings and approvals from shareholders. In this case, Paramount's already indicated it's going to kind of, it's protesting the deal, and it'll likely review scrutiny from the Department of Justice. Generally, anything that has over about 30% market share is reviewed closely, and Netflix has that, and they currently have about 300 million subscribers worldwide. Prime is second with about 130 million, and then Disney, just by Disney Plus itself, has about 110, but they also have Hulu and ESPN Plus. So if they add HBO Max to that, Netflix was going to be over kind of 30% market share. But they're competing in more than just streaming, and there's other options, YouTube and TikTok and other things. So it's really going to be defined how they de focus on defining the market. But this is another reason why Netflix wanted to get rid of Discovery Plus, CNN, and all the network stations, is because that would complicates the deal. For Paramount, they already own a lot of TV stations, so getting the TV stations and some of the other content and the amount of overlap and it creates would also re receive some attention. Both companies may have to change the structure of the deals as they are currently based on antitrust review, but either is likely to be approved with some changes.
Absolutely. And so I know that a lot of people maybe aren't as tuned into business mergers like this as they are to this specific merger, since, you know, they see these companies on their TV. Have we seen mergers like this before? Is this a common type of big merger for big companies?
Yeah, I'm the wrong one to ask, but I think mergers and acquisitions are really fascinating. Annually, there's about $4 trillion in value of deals accomplished every year, and that's bigger than the economies of Germany and Japan. So, mergers and acquisitions by itself is the world's third largest economy, just on the value of deals that happen all the time, and they happen all the time. Activision was acquired by Microsoft in kind of the entertainment space. Disney acquired Fox and Lucasfilm, and Amazon acquired the MGM Studios in this space. I mean, so it is something that happens relatively frequently. And what you'll see after this is there'll be other smaller companies that are likely to be acquired. So Starz is publicly traded and has a smaller subscriber base and has content that could be combined with other streaming services. And if Warner Brothers and Discovery and CNN are all split off, the Discovery Plus and CNN and those network television stations are likely to be acquired, potentially by Paramount.
Going off of that, in closing, is there anything else regarding this merger that you find noteworthy or that you'd like to go into?
Something that I think people are interested in is what does it mean for me and my pocketbook, because this is something I see on my television, is that if you are own have a Netflix account and an HBO Max account, those two independent costs are likely going to be larger if Netflix acquires that. They may add HBO Max as kind of a separate tier, but whatever that tier will be would still be less than owning them two separately. And if they do that, they'd also probably help with the antitrust review because it'd be less bundling of the content and forcing the consumers to pay more than the standard Netflix if they wanted to. So there's other things they can do to kind of structure the deal. But in general, if Netflix acquires this, the streaming costs, if you have both Netflix and HBO Max, is likely to fall.
Seems a positive for the consumer potentially if the deal goes through. But Professor, I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us about this. I learned a lot about what's going on, and I feel our audience will as well. So just thank you for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Invite me back anytime.
Unbothered is produced, edited, and hosted by Jason Acuna. Also hosted by Rihanna Winter. Audio engineering by Taylor Cox and Evan Rossi. Executive producers Regan McCarthy and Lynn Hatter. And brought to you by WFSU Public Media.